Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 4th of November, recording at an amazingly early 12:08 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. We're recording very early here because I've got to go away on an important event. And I know some of you will be relieved to have an earlier broadcast. But first, this being Friday, it's a big picture long-term outlook for the various different asset classes. Let's start with what's actually happened this week. Stock markets have recovered their nerve. That's the big story. Most government bonds have continued on downwards. The dollar is testing its upper boundaries on the US dollar index, at any rate. Precious metals have seen a setback. And oil, well, it's not really staying below that $60 level, but the technical evidence is inconclusive at this moment. Excuse me. Going back now to the big picture outlook overall, I maintain that the secular bear market that Let me go back a point earlier here. Let me take the technical bull, as I've described it, which began in March 2003. It's old in the tooth, and we've seen a good recovery from the October lows, but my hunch is that this is the bull's final charge. Now, as long as those October lows hold, though, and markets are anywhere near current levels, we can be reasonably relaxed. My anxiety level will go up if we see a move down to retest those October lows, which I certainly expect at some point. Wall Street is the big risk heading into next year, because it will almost certainly see a major shakeout. I do feel as if global stock markets are flying into a bit of an asteroid belt in 2006, but let's put that into perspective. That's not panic stations. I'll probably ride it out in my favorite core portfolio positions, although I may reintroduce some hedge shorts, the asymmetrical hedge shorts, although I have to add, those certainly haven't done me any favors so far. In other words, I've been too cautious in putting them on, and a little bit slow or too slow in taking them back off again. But the big stories, the big themes are going to ride this out and then move on to new highs. And the big themes, of course, are the supply and elasticity, mainly in the resources areas, in the industrial resources and precious metals. And the other big theme, a hugely big theme, is emerging markets. And there's another big theme that I should also mention among developed, industrialized, largely industrialized based economies, and that's Japan and Korea. Those are the great stories. And I expect them to remain great stories for many, many years, really. So one could ride out downturns, but if push came to shove, what's the worst that could happen in a serious downturn? Well, my very favorite of all, India, for instance. At some stage, I think India is the stock market of the century, but at some stage we're going to see a drop of 50%, and perhaps even a little bit more. It won't stay there for very long, in my view. And I expect what I think is we're far more likely to see is a pattern whereby when the Wall Street leash is being let out, and I expect to see that from lows in 2006 once again. In other words, whatever sell-off we see next year will create a fabulous buying opportunity. And following that buying opportunity, I would expect to see India soar to a new high long before the S&P gets to whatever high or gets within striking distance of its highs of this year. And I would expect resources to soar on up to new highs. So again, if I were going to have to go away for a decade or 15 years or so and was not going to be able to change my portfolio, I'd have the thing entirely in resources, and I would plus the favorite emerging markets that I've identified, plus some Japan and Korea, full stop. Okay, let's move on to the government bonds. Bear market developing here. We're still in top formation phase as far as the prices are concerned. In other words, the base building, big ranging type 3 base building process taking place in the yields. Don't expect linear rises in the yields. They'll go in rolling waves. And one of the reasons is because of all the debt financing that's taking place, all the paper money that's being printed, and that will eventually stoke up inflationary pressures. Those inflationary pressures in core terms will look very muted for quite some time and may even recede next year in some of the PPI and CPI data. Not sure about that, but it's certainly possible if we get a bit of a U.S. economic slowdown. But come on, folks. We read all these reports about how there's no core inflation, and yet we also know that central banks just print and print and print and print here. And you also know what's happening with a lot of the household bills that you have to pay. You also see some of the shortages that are occurring in the resources area and how wages are being pushed up in those areas, and it's inevitable that some of those other costs get passed on sooner or later. So the best way to monitor this story is to look at the money that's being created, and sure, manufacturing from China will help to keep core inflation rates down for quite some time. But the big trend is upwards in terms of inflation. That's why one of the reasons why we like gold so much. U.S. dollar, and why we don't like bonds. U.S. dollar possibly going to break up out of this range. Certainly, there are an awful lot of people trying to will it to do so. But my feeling is the next big move will be on the downside, and Bernanke will not want an overly strong dollar next year. I don't feel. So I look for a very important top in the U.S. dollar between now and the end of the year, first quarter of next year, if we haven't already seen it thereabouts. Again, big moves down relative to the upside scope. And I would expect the dollar to peak before we start to get cuts in U.S. interest rates. And certainly, once the market decides, and they'll probably hear this from Greenspan or Bernanke, once they hear that the Fed's going to pause and the rate increases, I think from that point onwards, the dollar will be on its way back down if it hasn't already anticipated it. Okay. Resources I've already covered, big secular bull markets that I expect to run and run, but again, not in linear fashion. They get huge shakeouts. And we've seen that nickel following the acceleration that we had a couple of years ago. It's cheap right now. Oil is currently experiencing a medium-term correction that could easily continue, but what's the downside? We're hovering here around the 60 level. That may be 59, 60. That may be the downside, but I wouldn't rule out a move back to 50, possibly even a brief overshoot further down. Most people would say 50, maybe $40 a barrel. Well, what? Let's compare that to the upside. The upside, I would say, over the next 10 to 15 years, we're talking about 150. U.S. dollars quite easily. Uranium, that'll remain the best energy bull market story of all. Foods, well, I would say that that's in the hands of the weather, but they are awfully cheap. But a difficult sector to play. The only way I think it's sensible to participate is to pick them up when the big sell-offs have lost downward momentum and trade them out on the rallies. That's pretty much it, folks. I hope I've covered all the bases that were of interest to you. All the best. Have a great weekend.